It's one of the first Bhagavatam passages. Read it and just talk about it a little. Although, as you can see, it's a verse that one could actually really get absorbed in at length for hours. Narada is saying, in the conditioned stage, one's conceptions of life are sometimes polluted by passion and ignorance, which are exhibited by attachment, hostility, greed, lamentation, delusion, fear, madness, false prestige, insults, fault-finding, deception, envy, intolerance, passion, bewilderment, hunger, and sleep. All of these are enemies. Sometimes one's conceptions are also polluted by goodness. Yeah. First interesting part of this verse. I mean, yeah, the first interesting part aside from the long, long list of qualifications, there are 17 in all, the disqualifications that arise as a consequence of being influenced by passion and ignorance, is that Narada Muni says, in the conditioned stage, one's conceptions of life are sometimes polluted by passion and ignorance. Is that a reality for us, that sometimes we're in passion and ignorance? Or is it that generally we're in passion and ignorance? Here the verse ends, and it says, and sometimes one's conceptions are also polluted by goodness. Both passion, ignorance, as well as goodness, result if not properly controlled and engaged in the Lord's service, result in the contamination of the consciousness, further conditioning. But for people in Kali Yuga, generally we see that it isn't they're sometimes in the modes of passion and ignorance, but they're always in the modes of ignorance, sometimes in passion, rarely in goodness. So it was an interesting point how at some time past, this is how people used to be. Mostly they were in the mode of goodness. Although here the warning is, and Krishna also gives that warning, that the mode of goodness also tends to contaminate the living entity. Sorry, I got a little distracted there. Yes, this was a different age when people were mostly in goodness or goodness in passion, but now the lower modes are so dominant that these other qualities, which I've listed and will list again, they dominate the consciousness of people in general. They are what we as Vaishnavas are also struggling with and trying to purify and overcome. But here, all of these things are described for us as obstacles that we need to be aware of, we need to guard against, and ultimately purify. The good news is that yasyasti bhakti bhagavati rakinchana savagunastatva varasate shura, that if we engage in, yes, this akinchana bhakti, unmotivated, uninterrupted, pure devotional service, then all the good qualities become manifest. So the good qualities means varasate shura, the good qualities which are present in demigods, and they're the qualities that are characteristic of the mode of goodness. Although here, and Krishna also in the Gita says that one can become conditioned by the mode of goodness if one becomes attached to the knowledge and the happiness that results from that mode, still the mode of goodness has qualities which are conducive for spiritual life. In fact, the qualifications of one who is in the mode of goodness are similar to those of one who is in the mode of transcendental goodness, one who is actually transcendental to all the modes of material nature. Why then do we say that the mode of goodness can also be contaminating, that sometimes one's conceptions, here it says, can be polluted? Word pollution is used. Because if one sees that the activities of goodness, knowledge, philanthropy, being spiritually inclined, religious, if these are the ultimate goal of life, rather than pleasing Krishna being the ultimate goal of life, then although those qualities are good and they're favorable for living in this world and favorable for practicing devotional service, they become the be-all and end-all. They become more prominent or more important than service to Krishna, and they're simply another means for remaining within this material world, remaining in it as a good person, but remaining in it nonetheless. And that's not what our business is. Our business is to go back home, back to Godhead, to go back to Krishna. So we don't want to be contaminated by any mode. And for that reason, then, as this verse which I quoted, Yasasti Bhakti Bhagavati Akinchana Sarvagunastastra Harasari Sura. Unless this Akinchana Bhakti, Bhagavat Bhakti, is purely practiced, then the tendency is that, yes, one will become contaminated. And our issue will be not just the worries of being contaminated by the modes of goodness, but from these different qualities or symptoms of the modes of passion and ignorance, then we know that we can, and most likely will, become contaminated by these. I mentioned that this could be a really long discussion or topic, because just listen to these different conceptions here, or influences: fear, madness, fault-finding, insults, deception, envy, intolerance. Every one of them you could just spend so much time discussing. Fault-finding, it's a tendency that's there in conditioned souls, particularly in those who are envious of the abilities, possessions, even spiritual advancement of others. Then the tendency there is to find fault. And of course you can find fault with everyone. Srila Prabhupada had said that, you know, you can find fault with me. Shishupal found lots of fault with Krishna. He just kept going on and on and on. He had a whole list of faults, 100 of them. So all of these qualities become pollutants to the consciousness if one does not purify them, and in order to properly purify them, to keep them under control. That means very strong devotional practices. Without those strong devotional practices, neither will Chaitodarpana Marjanam, neither will the heart become cleansed, neither will one have the ability to remain aloof from one's past karma, these lower modes of passion and ignorance, which then manifest these qualities within our own devotional life, and thus our consciousness, which we're trying to purify, becomes polluted. making our job of becoming Krishna conscious all that much more difficult, or sometimes people just give up. They make peace with the modes of nature, with the material energy, and are willing to compromise, being critical, being passionate, being fruitive, desiring prestige, excessive, eating, sleeping, doing all of these things along with devotional service, and then that becomes a different type of devotional service. It's no longer pure devotional service, but it's something that Lord Kapila Dev has already described. It is devotional service in the modes of material nature. That devotional service, which is either in the mode of passion, in the mode of ignorance, and in any case, it's a formula for rebirth in the material world. And that's not a formula that we want to practice. So we should be aware of these qualities that are inherently there as a consequence of our being contaminated by the lower modes. We should control them consciously, try to control them, and even if we're not consciously able to control them all, then at least we should be consciously making an effort to practice diligent devotional service, attentive chanting of the holy name, regular hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam, associating with sadhus, being Trinadapi Sunichena, so that the quality of our devotion will help us control ourselves from becoming a slave to these qualities, and ultimately help us to purify our hearts from them. And one more time, let me just read these things. I have to address Radha Damodar here. I've been remiss in that. Attachment, hostility, greed, lamentation, illusion, fear, madness, false prestige, insult, fault-finding, deception, envy, intolerance, passion, bewilderment, hunger, and sleep. You can just take one of these, meditate on it, see how it manifests in your devotional life, how it manifests in your day-to-day life. If it doesn't, bravo. If it does, better do something about it. Hare Krishna.